Fakes to Allen. Fakes to Swift. And there's Kmet. Cole Kmet. Touchdown. 31 yards. What a play.
What a play indeed. Happen to be with you here after a Bears 35-16 win. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers. And the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. A successful trip to London for the Bears today. And lots of good things to be thinking about with this one, especially on the offense after a rough start on offense, at least. The first couple of drives resulted in quick three and outs, but then they pretty much took over from there.
Well, one thing quickly here, Ann. We won, I mean, Andy and Dan. What, we won 35-16, okay? Beating this team, the worst team in the league, the worst defense in the league, by barely, just a little under 5 points a quarter. That doesn't sit well with me. But, oh, congratulations. They won, but this should have been a different game. They got every call. They got every break. The Bears actually went down the length of the field on third and fourth down penalties against Jacksonville, and they score a touchdown. That wasn't a drive. That was a given. That was a given is what it was. So, again, I'm happy. We beat a team that obviously we should beat no matter what happens, and we did that. But I'm not impressed. I truly am not impressed after this game. After watching the coaching on that team and those players and the effort that they put out, we should have buried this team, and I mean buried them.
Yeah, the Jags need bags to put over their heads. That was embarrassing.
What a pathetic effort.
But you know what? A couple of things. You know, a couple of the spots that we talked about in the pregame actually turned out to be great performances for our Chicago Bears. And one, the offensive line. They weren't perfect, but they handled a Jacksonville defensive line that...
Which is nothing.
Well, but you know what? I got to tell you. You know, when we have referred to our offensive line as the worst in football,
well,
they dominated against their defensive line. So cut that any way you want. They did better. And it's you know, it was the basis of an offense that scored 5 touchdowns, rushed for over 150 yards. The quarterback had a QBR of, you know, 120 or something.
124.
All of that is great. But the other part of it was the guys in the secondary. Look, nobody is impressed with Trevor Lawrence. Nobody's impressed with that offense. But you got to tip the cap. Jalen Jones, Elijah Hicks, they came in. And, man, we didn't really see a whole lot of, you know, issues with the coverages and the secondary and the defense. They forced a couple of turnovers. So it was a good day all across the board. But a lot of that, as you said, OB, you know, we thought Carolina is the worst team in football. I think Carolina would beat them if the Jags and Carolina played. But all that being said, tip the cap, the young quarterback is starting to look like the guy we all expected. And we wanted to see it back in September. But here it is, middle of October, and a couple of plays today kind of solidified what we have been touting.
That's until Dan, our offensive coordinator, got his head out of his backside and got this kid out of the pocket and attacking downfield and using Cole Kmet as a prime weapon.
Absolutely.
It opens up the rest of the passing game. It's just a fact.
Oh, and a couple of the plays that I would call the signature plays of this game. The first one to your man, Cole Kmet. It was a double fake screen and then a seam route to Kmet, who shook off the safety and scored. That was fantastic. And it was a execution by the quarterback was just perfect. You know, left, right, and then down the middle. The other one was later in the game. He hit Keenan Allen on a back shoulder fade into the end zone on a post pattern. And those are the things. Trevor Lawrence couldn't do it. He tried a couple of times. It didn't work. I'm just saying, certain quarterbacks have a knack to be able to throw the ball where it has only one person, you know, with the chance to catch it. Keenan Allen caught it for the touchdown, and it was a beautiful thing.
Danny, after this game, and just quick thinking before we just came on, you know, I'm trying to think back when I've seen a team, an offensive line, a defensive line, linebackers, defensive backs, running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, and coaching. And I gave it a lot of thought. I truly did. Quick, fast, but a long, hard thought. That team, Jacksonville, that is the worst coach team. Danny, try and think back. What teams, what coaches could be coaching this bad? And remember that interview we had on television?
The halftime break.
Oh, my God, folks. It was like he was an escapee from an insane asylum or something. Jesus. Who the hell hired that guy? But I'll tell you what. We took him basically in every phase of the game. And here's what I want to say. If you take the strength of this Chicago Bear organization, you go to polls, you go to management, you go to head coach, offensive, defensive coordinators and coaches, players, offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, running backs, wideouts, tight ends, whatever have you. The strength of the Chicago Bears is the defense, i.e. our four defensive backs. We get guys go down. We have the wherewithal. Whoever is the next man up is working. Our three linebackers, I don't care. I don't think, Danny, there's a better seven in this entire league from what I've seen. And if we didn't have those kids, we wouldn't be 4-2. That's the strength of the Bears. It's not the quarterback. It's not the offensive line. It's not our receivers. It's our defense, especially our linebackers and our D-backs. Those kids are terrific, folks.
They really are. And you know what? I was, after about the second quarter, we turned to you, Andy, and I said, this league is full of idiots. And you know, you can color it any way you want.
Who the hell hired that guy?
Well, Doug Peterson. Hey, you know, Robert Saleh got fired last week after a blowout loss, you know, in London. I know Doug Peterson's supposed to be the coach next week in London. How do you keep him? How do you keep the defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen?
You can't.
That guy was awful. And hey.
They had no defense.
Hey, to our credit, you know, their defensive backs had three defensive holding calls on the same drive.
They went down the field on penalties.
It was a 14-play drive, but only 10 of them counted because of all the holding calls.
And they were on third down.
And on third down. And you can shake your head any way you want, but the league being full of idiots, sometimes you have to count your lucky stars. We're not the idiots today.
All right, let me say this again one more time. It's great we won. And again, congratulations, everybody, with the Bears. That's terrific. You're across the pond, et cetera. You did it, which you're supposed to do. Okay? But I can tell you what, folks. They better get ready. They better get ready. Because I'll tell you what, we've got another cream puff to play. And then of the next two games, well, we got the bye. And then we have Cleveland.
Washington and then Arizona.
Yeah, Washington, and then you got Arizona, who they can't even get out of there.
They're not cream puffs. They're not.
Yeah, but, well, schedule-wise, it basically...
You're counting them as a cream puff.
Absolutely. I mean, come on. I thought they might have a chance
to go 0-9,
and the only one I was ever worried about was Houston, and they're the only... You know, they beat us, but we're 4-2. But I'm going to tell you, what's keeping this team together, and I truly believe this, Dan, and to our listeners, is our defense. It's our defense that is keeping us in the game. And if you look at today, we scored 35 points against this team. 35, we should have scored 55. So we only beat this team, if you break it down, a little less than 5 points a quarter. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 1-5, they beat us by just... We outscored it by just a little under 5 points, 4.9 or whatever it would be. I'm not too thrilled about that, Dan.
Well, Andy, two things about it. And again, when you have a blowout win like this, sure, there's a lot of bouquets you could throw here and there. Blah. But the one thing that really bothered me was, and it can be corrected, Caleb Williams, you know, that interception, that was a needless mistake on his part. In a little ways, it kind of reminded me of a quarterback that's kind of feeling a little, you know, full of himself. And in an arrogant way, he kind of just floated the thing down, you know, down the left sideline, and they made the interception. And that would have been another touchdown if it was a better thrown ball. But all that being said, we're carping about, you know, little ticky-tack things.
Well,
but that's one thing that he has. Well, it's one thing.
It's a learning process, Dan.
Exactly.
Let's hope the hell he learns from it.
Yeah, you can do that at USC when you're playing Stanford, but you can't do it against an NFL defense. They're too good, too fast. They'll make you pay.
Except for this team we play.
Yeah, you're right. Stanford may score on them, too.
Yeah.
All right, so offensively, there's a statistical organization called StatHead. And the Bears have scored 5 offensive touchdowns in back-to-back games for the first time since 1956.
Wow. Well, and again, it goes back to OB's cream puff schedule that he's talking about. And, folks, I got to tell you, Carolina's defense.
Are you making fun of me?
Well, the Carolina's defense had five starters.
That was my prediction. I'm trying to be positive instead of being negative here. And before the season come out, and there could have been a shot that we could have gone 9-0. The only damn tough team that we hit on at the time was Houston. And if they'd done what they're supposed to do in all the different camps and training camps, maybe we might just be 5-0. Could be a possibility.
Well, 6-0 now. But long story short, for the folks calling in, you know, there's a lot of things that make you think, hey, this team is starting to gel. They're starting to find a little bit of a groove. They're turning people over. And when we'd get the turnovers, we scored touchdowns after both of the turnovers. Those are the things that winning teams do. But I think anybody watching the game saw that if you're a 4-2 football team, 4-2, if you get to that mark in your schedule, OB, what are your chances of going to the playoffs?
Almost 60. Statistically wise, I have no idea, Dan. I'm not a gambler. I really don't give a damn one way or the other. I just want you to win every week and have the coaches ready to get these kids ready to win every week. That's why you play this game.
Well,
you don't play to lose.
Well, but the point is we have a statistical probability of 63.8%. The NFL, the last 20 years, if you get to 4-2, you've got like a almost, you know, 2/3 chance of making the playoffs. Now, when was the last time we could say that about this team? Wouldn't it be all the way back 2019?
Yeah.
And I don't know what our record was, but I think we were about the same, 4-2 or maybe 5-1 at that time. But the point being is, we haven't been in the conversation. Think about what happened last year. What did we lose, the first 5?
Yep.
So, I mean, if you're looking for reasons to believe, you're looking for progress, you're looking for silver linings, this game had a whole bunch of it.
All right, we're going to be with you until 2 o'clock today, so plenty of time to take your phone calls, 312-981-7200.
What he just said, I disagree with.
Well, let's hold that for after the news.
You can't have 35-16 game and get every break in the game, every single break, every quarter in the game, every play, and you win by just under 5 points, outscoring them a quarter, and now they're the greatest team in the planet? I don't think so, big man.
Nobody's saying that's the greatest team. I'm just saying,
well,
last year, 0-5.
You're talking about them winning, yeah, and they're really going. No, they're not.
We were 1-5 with essentially 0% chance. This year, we're 4-2 with a 63.8% chance. I call that progress.
You know who statistics are for, Dan? The loser. That's who statistics are for.
Well,
that's who looks at the statistics.
Well, we're going to have 2 weeks to get ready for the Commanders.
You walked into that one.
No.
Yes, you did.
I know you think stats are for losers. That's why you've got a pile of them over there that you're spouting all the time.
35-16, Bears over the Jaguars. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Back with your phone calls coming up after the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Hot route, hot route.
Who brought it today? Looking at which Bear played tough, played hard.
To Williams is left. Let's go to the end zone. Nice connect.
Time now for Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. Cole Komet, Five catches, 70 yards, a couple of touchdowns, including that 31-yard touchdown score. And he ended up being the long snapper in the game, too, because early in the game, the Bears' number one snapper was lost for an injury.
I'm going to tell you what, to me, and I'd love to hear what Danny has to say, and me, looking at what's been going on since Cole Kmet's been here, and what teams do with the tight ends, okay? They utilize them, okay? And we're starting to utilize them a little bit more. Cole Kmet is the key to opening up the passing game, especially over the middle, okay? And you've got to use this kid. He's got the talent. He's got good hands. He's got separations. He's got size. He's got speed. He's got quickness. And the more they use him, the better our passing game is going to get. Cutting it just really short, Danny, instead of going into everybody. Cole Kmet, to me, is the key to our passing game.
Well, and he's the key to the offense in a lot of different aspects. But it's kind of funny. The snapper gets hurt. Oh, you scored a touchdown. Oh, go stick your head between your legs and snap the ball.
They didn't ask him to sell popcorn.
Yeah, what a reward. You can't even celebrate. You got to go over there and get ready.
So there's not another lineman that they have for a backup to snap the ball. We got to put our starting tight end in there.
Well, think about this.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. Come on, coaches.
Hey, and it's not like it's a mystery. Who were the two teams that played in the Super Bowl last year? Both of their tight ends, Travis Kelce in Kansas City and George Kittle in the Bay Area, the 49ers, they were the two all-pro tight ends in football last year. Is it like a shock? Is it a mystery? No, the tight end has developed into, and you can see all across the league.
How many times have I said that?
8 years. But but here's the thing. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, we're going to watch here out of the corner of our eye. They're playing the Commanders, who we play next. Long story short, last week was the first time they remembered to put Mark Andrews back in the equation. And, man, they exploded on offense. So, yes, the tight end is like the key that unlocks the passing game.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And Cole Kmet, obviously, he's been on the verge all year, hopefully today. Somebody get Shane Waldron a copy of this tape. Maybe he can watch it and say, wow, look at that guy.
Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Let's open up the phone lines for you, 312-981-7200. Let's go out to Hanover Park and say hi to Craig. Craig, you're first up here with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Love your show. You guys are always very knowledgeable. Really appreciate it. With respect to the past couple of years, I'm very proud of the Chicago Bears and what they did today and what they've been doing this year. You know, it looks like their offensive line has gotten better every week. Caleb looks like he's a promising kid for future compared to what we had before. How do you feel about the coaching staff and what's been replaced and how they're moving forward, both defensive and offensive lines?
All right, Greg, thanks for the call.
Well, OB, what do you think? Let's talk about the offensive line real quick. I have said on countless times that I was very impressed over the past couple of years, as bad as some of the players on the offensive line that we've had to deal with, Cody Whitehair and this guy and that guy. And, well, somehow, some way, he was able to manage something. And the year started out really, really shaky.
Moving them out of the pocket has helped the offensive line, Dan, with the bootlegs and sprint outs, okay? Moving the pocket, that's what has helped our offensive line play a little better.
But Matt Pryor at right guard instead of Nate Davis is paying big dividends.
Yes,
I
agree.
And Nate Davis needs to be cut to make a statement to the rest of the team. Guess what? Perform or hit the road. And
$10 million Bowles is paying that guy.
Talk about God,
how can you make a mistake like that?
And you know what?
Like this just started when he got here?
Well, who was the center from Green Bay?
Lucas Patrick.
Tried to block it out.
Yeah, I tried to also.
Who was god-awful?
Yeah.
I mean, god-awful.
Don't forget about Sam Mustipher, too.
Oh, my God. So, in a composite view of it, the offensive line today was about four or five clicks better than what we saw in September. And hopefully they'll only get better. Braxton Jones has got to start manning up and stop getting bull rushed and walk back into the lap of the quarterback. And at some point, you got to think that, you know, maybe have tight ends chip on that defensive end or whatever. But four or five times today, he got bull rushed right back into the quarterback's lap. And the quarterback has nothing to do but to start, you know, scramble like a rat.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. You mean to tell me 26 coaches, you got a general manager, assistant, you got scouts, everybody. You mean to tell me somebody can't figure out, we've watched this kid, Dan, and Dan's talking about that bull rush. They don't even try any other move on him.
It's no film.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you're on the sidelines and you're up in the booth and you're looking right at it. What are you people thinking about? Get this kid in a weight program or do something, because he gets pushed back. If you watch it, folks, it's series after he gets pushed back. Right, they don't even try to make moves to get around him. They just bull rush him. And by the way, you're doing it with linebackers that are about 6 foot, 6'1", maybe 6'3". They weigh 230, 240, maybe 250. And they're taking this kid and putting him in a quarterback's lap almost every – just watch and see what Dan's been telling you and I've been telling you.
And Darnell Wright, the first-round draft pick last year, who played okay as a rookie – regressed in September. He's getting a little better, but we need more out of these two guys.
How well do the Bears protect the pocket? It's sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns. Always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. 152 yards rushing, and Caleb Williams was sacked, in fact, three times in the game. Sometimes I think
it's... But how many yards lost? Did you see that?
I'll tell you in a second.
Five yards.
Yep, that's right. 5 yards. Three
essentially,
sacks.
What that tells you is... they're not getting beat on the first move. The pocket collapses. Quarterback's trying to make it back to the line of scrimmage. Somebody trips him up. So it's not the first move. It's the, you know, the total lack of cohesiveness that the pocket's breaking down. And but three sacks, yeah, only five yards lost. Mm-hmm. You can live with that if you have to.
Wait a minute. That's where the danger comes in, gentlemen, and to our listeners. That's where the danger comes in of losing Caleb Williams, our quarterback, because he stops, jiggles, twists, jumps. You watch him. It's basically almost series after series with the offensive line not taking care of the work. And you see him spinning, fighting, stumbling, trying to get out. And here's what's going to happen, folks. And I'm just telling you, you keep doing that. You don't protect this kid. You keep these defensive linemen and blitzers off of him. And he keeps trying to escape, trying to make things happen. There will be something that will happen, and I hope it's not going to be bad, but I'm telling you what, he's getting set up to have that leg twisted off. What I see.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears, second and goal. DeAndre Swift doesn't get it. Instead, it's a touchdown to Keenan Allen. Two for Kermit. Two for Keenan. Four for Caleb.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Highlights courtesy of the NFL Network. That's Rich Eisen out there calling the game as the Bears win at 35-16 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. A couple of good performances as far as the receivers go. We mentioned Cole Kmet had a couple of touchdown catches today. And Keenan Allen was the other guy that caught a couple balls for touchdowns.
Well, here, one other stat that going along with that, Andy, in pass attempts, completions, interceptions, et cetera. In other words, average gain per pass play. Now, the Jaguars were at 5.3. That's not so bad, folks. That is not so bad. If you can get around 6, and I told you, 6. If you hit it at 7, that's huge. That's giant. We were 9.9 last week. We were 6.9, almost 7 yards. Folks, just trust me on this. That's a number in a passing game you want to see. You want to see that 6, 6.5, 7, 7.5. And if you can hit 8, that's phenomenal. But we hit almost 10 yards last week, and we come back here again, and we hit, what did I say, Dan?
6'9" today,
6.9,
last week.
Almost 7 yards a pass. Folks, that's huge. Trust me, that's giant in this game. If you can hit that, if you can hit that every week, you're going to win. You're going to win.
But the loser,
this is a passing
league.
But the
stats are for losers. How come we didn't do better today?
I use it to my advantage to get back at you. That's why. Anything else you want to know?
If Jacksonville is worse, how come our numbers aren't better than
I'll let
week?
You know what I want you to know when I let you know.
Okay, I get it. I know. Yeah, I know.
So, know when you know.
You can't know before that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, and during the course of any game, there's, you know, like some hidden stats, some hidden hands. Gabe Davis dropped 3 touchdown passes
easily
today.
Yep.
Now, I mean, obviously, that changes everything. And he came from Buffalo. They thought he would be the guy to make those plays, you know, especially down in the red zone. And he dropped it 3 times. Good balls.
Dan, well, here's the point. What I said, we only beat this team by a little under 5 yards, like 4.25 or whatever points in each quarter.
Okay. Yes.
In an average, folks. And this is a team, it should have been 14.5 a quarter. Really? If you saw the game today, you know what I'm talking about.
Let's get to our Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
Terrific group. Boy, Mark Mueller, love the kid. He's great.
And the Bears figured out what they were doing after the couple of 2 and outs, actually 3 and outs, 2 times. They went and scored a touchdown. That pretty much changed it.
And they did. And obviously that was the great play on the double screen to Cole Kmet later in the drive. But they put together a 7-play, 77-yard beauty. It was a statement drive. Jacksonville took an early lead, 3-0. The Bears were fumbling around, 3 and out. And you're thinking, okay, what's happening here? All of a sudden, they kind of, you know, assume the urgency of the moment and put together a beautiful drive. That was the game changer.
Eli sent me a stat, too, here about Caleb Williams, who threw for 4 touchdowns today. He now has 9 in his rookie season through 6 games.
I know where you're going with this.
Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky each had a total of 7 touchdown passes in their rookie seasons. So technically, with the 3rd touchdown pass today, Caleb Williams passed their entire rookie years of both of the last 2 quarterbacks.
You know what you saw today? It was right on the camera on Caleb Williams. Did you see him? It was right on him. In the passing game, he dropped back. He looks at a strong side, center, weak side, looks back to the strong, and he did it almost on every passing play when he couldn't get the pass out, you know, immediately, and he did. In other words, folks, he can see. He reads the field. He knows where his people are. Do you remember Justin Fields? The number one primary receiver he could find, and that was it. Game, set, match, it was over with. That's why we got rid of him. And finally, somebody figured it out. The quarterback, he wasn't good enough physically. He wasn't good enough mentally to be a top-flight quarterback here in Chicago, as far as I'm concerned. And Caleb Williams showed you today, watch on television, he views the whole field looking for his primary, second, third, fourth, viewing the field and making the right decisions. That's terrific. That is terrific.
He was processing and processing away.
That's what the hell you're supposed to do.
Well, we haven't seen it here.
No, we haven't, Dan.
Did I?
And by the way, how many times did we point that out?
Yeah.
I know if I did. I did it once. I did it 20 times. The guy can't read a field. Fields I'm talking about. He can't. To this day, he can't.
So today, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Caleb Williams, when he was starting to roll out toward the sideline, he had 2 defenders coming at him. He looked like he was going to run out of bounds, but then he spotted out of the corner of his eye, he spotted Cole Kmet and delivered that great ball.
Because he knew where he was.
I was going to say, he almost looked like he was duping those guys to following him and then throwing back against the grain, which is not an easy thing to do.
He views the field. Yep. I'm telling you, folks, he views it all good stuff.
You know, and just because you're a great player in college doesn't mean that you become a great player in the pros. But you saw these type of plays from Caleb Williams all the time, you know, his last 2 years at USC. And that is what convinced me. And I know we're going to see Jaden Daniels in a couple of weeks. And he was the guy taken right behind him. And right now, you know, if you go by stats like some people do, Andy, Jaden Daniels looks like, oh, the far superior player.
Is that a dig at me?
But the point being is, I think it's just a matter of time till the comfort level of Caleb gets to the point. We're going to see a lot of that, you know, 6, 8, 10 plays a game where he's playing chess and the defenders are playing checkers.
So he had a nice day today again, 23 of 29, 226 yards, 4 touchdowns. He did have that one interception that we have chronicled already that was kind of an errant throw where he had a lot too much air under the ball and could not get it to DJ Moore, and that turned into be the only turnover he committed today.
I have a thought. Before we end the show today, it's about Nate Davis, our right guard, if you can find him. Do you think that there's a possibility they will outright release him to get that stigma off this team?
Well, it's possible.
Him not showing up, constantly not showing up, and to get rid of that stigma. How is this guy, how does he get hurt?
Yeah.
Well, there's two reasons why they should. Number one is Bill Murray, who played 30-something plays last week and graded out.
And he did pretty damn good.
Hey, he graded out. He wasn't beat on a pass rush one time, which has not happened on our offensive line in years. The other one is Matt Pryor, that's kind of entrenched himself now at right guard. Nate Davis, folks, Nate Davis was a healthy scratch. That's when the team says, we'd rather go without you. And I mean, you know,
that's I have to do a healthy scratch, folks. I don't know if you have any idea beyond embarrassment for that kid, and finally this coaching staff. And obviously, I would wonder if some of the coaches talked to some of his teammates and players, because I don't think this was just a whim move. Not to start him, or you know, to take him off the healthy thing, Dan, the healthy way out.
Right.
That was done for a purpose, and I'll be surprised. Listen, he may be gone this week.
Well, no,
you can't have this guy around, Dan.
Okay, they did that, which is they sent a message, but they need to send a release. Get rid of him.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk more about the offensive line and the entire game. The Bears win at 35-16. We'll take a timeout here for the news. Happen will be is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
That's Doug Kramer. Offensive lineman is a fullback who blows open the hole for DeAndre Swift. Touchdown.
Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I got to give credit to Eli, Sammy, and Jack, because all the bumper music you're hearing today are all from British bands, because the Bears played in London today.
These guys are at the top of their game. We have the three best behind that glass, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. These guys are terrific.
They work hard for us, and we appreciate them, and we appreciate you listening. 981-7200 is the phone number, 312-981-7200.
Sammy, that doesn't mean you come back here and take your cap off and we're going to drop money in it.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, they're complaining about stuff back there, but you know, we take good care of them, don't we?
Absolutely.
All right, so a couple of things that I think you really kind of have to note. We've talked about the offensive line, and we talked about the secondary, which you are infatuated with, and I love them too. They're terrific.
The backups come in, Dan. You're missing nothing.
Well, Jalen Jones was the leading tackler today, but Kyler Gordon left the game. What was it, early? Hamstring?
Yeah, he got a hamstring injury.
Yeah. That's not good. Early in the game, and what happens, you know, everybody goes, oh, they got off to a slow start, blah, blah, blah. Well, part of the reason why Jacksonville got off to a slow start, they were blitzing Kyler Gordon early in this game. He was making some plays. And then later on when he left, then, you know, everybody has to kind of change the plans. Well, all that being said, Kevin Byard, who had a big game and an interception against the Rams, played much better last week. Today, I thought he was terrific.
The guy steps up to the plate, Danny, and he delivers. I agree with you. He is terrific.
Now, normally he's been playing free safety. But with Brisker out, who is strong safety, and everybody goes, what's the difference? Well, traditionally, the strong safety gets a lot more action up in the box, on the line, hanging on tight ends, all those. Well, Byard became the strong safety today, and then Elijah Hicks played the free safety spot. So being able to make those moves and sequence it in with all the other coverages and the different matchups, they did a splendid job.
That's why I love what I see, Danny, this whole year. All these five games, and who has really kept us in to where we're at 4-2 right now. And you can pick any avenue you want. Coaches, which I mentioned before, and I'll stick to it. Those seven kids have put us in a good position to win from week to week. The linebackers and our D-backs. One of them goes down, the next one comes up. You don't miss a heartbeat. Kudos to those kids. They play their hearts out.
And Dan Hampson's
very proud of him.
Dan Hampson, defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado. Official truck partner of the Chicago Bears is Kevin Byard with 7 tackles today, credited with only 1 pass defense. But I think I remember a couple other ones.
He was very, very active up in the box. And you know, again, this defense, you know, a lot of times the nickelback gets a lot of traffic, a lot of opportunities. So does Brisker, with being in that strong safety position, almost like a monster man. And Byard manned the fort today.
312-981-7200, the phone number. The Bears win at 35-16 over the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. Let's go to South Florida and say hi to Dave. Dave, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Great show, as always. Bear down.
Thank you.
Just want to, OB, what you always talk about every week, I pay attention to you like I'm in class. Third down percentage, we were 5 for 11, 45%.
Yeah.
We did very well on third down percentage, which is probably, you put it as being one of the most important downs in any series.
There's no question about it.
Attention. That and the fact that we had a 5.2 yards rushing average. And kudos to the linemen. They played their butts off. The whole team did, but I'm excited about the future and the immediate future if we can win some tough games. And I know we got the Commanders coming up. We got a bye. I think we're heading in the right direction, guys.
Dave, great call. And let me say this to you. And there's a saying that I've had a belief in, and I got beaten into me by my high school coach by the name of Andy Pupulis. Great coach. He was a quarterback at Notre Dame, and he was our head coach at Proviso. And I'm going to tell you what, his line, one of his lines was, if you think you can, you will. If you think you can, you will. If you really think about what that means, it's a positive. We're going into a game, we're going to win. And if you believe that going in, again, if you think you can, you will. You will win. It's got to start from somewhere. And if it's words or whatever, and I happen to believe when you start something in athletics, words count big time. And I love that statement. I've used it for years. If you think you can, you will. If not, get the hell out of here.
You know, this was the second time in the last 3 weeks, and it actually should have been the third time in the last 3 weeks, that Caleb Williams has matched up with another quarterback that has been drafted number one overall. Started with Matthew Stafford with the Rams. Should have been Bryce Young, but it was Andy Dalton with the Carolina Panthers. And now you get you get Lawrence here, or Trevor Lawrence with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, for my money, looking at the way that all three of those guys played, I mean, I'm looking at Caleb Williams as my guy.
Oh, I agree with you 100% from what we've seen. And that's all you can go by.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what the situation or what the down or quarter or whatever it is, the kid has been given he's given 110% every damn play. And by the way, and that's what I'm a little worried about with our offensive line, about him, because he does everything to get out of a jam. And sometimes that's not the smart thing to do. Because once you blow a leg out, buddy, and you're a quarterback, you're on your way out.
Well, let's talk about that real quick. And again, some people value stats a lot, Andy. And if you look around the league, going into today's game, Caleb Williams, as you know, they've ranked quarterbacks, you know, by yardage, by touchdowns, all that. A lot of people like the QBR, quarterback rating, and it's encompassing about, you know, interceptions, yards per attempt, blah, blah, all that. It's hard to believe, but Joe Flacco was number one in the NFL this past week with a 115.6. Number two, Joe Burrow. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson going right on down. Patrick Mahomes was number 19 with an 88.9 QBR. Caleb Williams, what do you think he was? 27th.
Yep.
27th with 81.3. But the last 2 weeks, that means the two games we had won going into the London game, he had a 117.2 rating. So the last 2 weeks, and you put that 117 with the 126 today.
Mm-hmm. 124.4.
He's gonna be in the top 10 here pretty quick. Now, when you start talking about
isn't that your goal?
Well,
isn't that where you want to be?
Well, and you know, Justin Fields, you know, he's 11th with a 97.1. But you start talking about guys like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. You know, Patrick Mahomes will wind up way up there. You know, he's thrown 6 picks thus far, and, he always kind of gets off to a slow start. All that being said, that is when you think, oh, we're going to go play, name a team, Cincinnati. The first thing you think about, who's their quarterback?
Right.
Well, it won't be long when people start thinking about in years past, OB, everybody always thought, oh, the Bears, that defense, oh, the running game. It won't be long.
That's been the Bears' history, Dan.
Well,
running game and defense.
This is revisionism. I mean, it won't by the end of the year. Let's hope when somebody says, oh, yeah, they're playing the Bears, the first thing that jumps out is, oh, wow, Caleb Williams. If we get to that point, we're all going to be happy.
Well, the thing that I'd like to hear from here on out is you can't stop them from scoring, and they got a defense that will not let the opponent score. That's the kind of words I want to hear. And if you can do that from week to week and in 17 weeks when the playoffs start and everything, because your goal is to be the world champion, to win the Super Bowl and become a world champion. That's your goal. There's no other goal in this game. That's it. And that's from owners, management, everybody, to the last person in that locker room. That has to be the thought. And if not, get out of the game.
The underlying fact, you mentioned Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
As the first overall pick. Think about the deal the Bears made to give Carolina that stiff, who got benched. We got 3 number ones.
DJ
two
Moore.
Number two, and they're all playing. We still got a number one next year.
Yes.
We still, I mean, we got DJ Moore. We got the right tackle, Darnell Wright. We got Gervon Dexter. All these players we got in that deal. So the way I'm looking at it is not only is Caleb Williams, you know, what would you say? The future is bright, and we got him, you know, in a perfect position. Look at all the other players we got with that trade.
312-981-7200, the number, 3516, Bears over the Jaguars. We'll take a quick timeout here and come back with more.
Williams over the middle. Keenan Allen. Touchdown. Having some tea in the Tottenham end zone. For Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Lots of Bears fans there.
Holy cow, Andy. That was unbelievable.
Highlights courtesy of the NFL Network. Camp and OB sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. That was one of those throws today that the only person that could have caught that ball was Keenan Allen, and luckily he did.
And well, it's a similar pattern that we saw a week prior to DJ Moore. There was a beautiful pass and execution to the proper shoulder. And, you know, I can't catch a ball. I never said I could. And obviously, I marvel at those receivers when they make those kind of catches in the end zone. You know, out in the field, you know, it is what it is. But in the end zone, I mean, everything is condensed. That was an amazing catch.
Concentration to get the ball.
The grifter.
Yeah, to get the feet down and everything. 312-981-7200. Let's get out to Kerry and say hi to Bob. Bob, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. I just wanted to first make a comment. Ed, Dan, and Andy, for a great show. I'm really happy that you're doing this.
Thank you.
Second of all, it seems like every game I watched the Bears this year, I'm so baffled, and I can't figure out why the Bears are such slow starters in the first quarter of all these football games. And then one more question, and then you guys can answer. Thirdly, I really admire Cole Kmet on the type of player he is and everything he's doing for the Bears, and even assisting and long snapping. He looked really good today. So I'll let you guys answer, but thanks for having the show.
You got it, Bob. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bob, let me tell you just quickly here. That kid, and again, not to talk in circles here, but other teams you go to, who's their main guy that really opens up the passing is the tight end, and all because of the rules of the game. And one other thing, defensive backs are not huge people. They're not really tall people. They're really not big people. They're quick as cats, and they know how to tackle. Those are the two things defensive backs are. Cole Kmet is 6'5", 6'6", whatever. What, Dan, 240, 250? He can run. He can get separations. He's got good hands. You go to every team, basically in the National Football League, and who is the star? Who was the pass-receiving guy? The tight end. They open up this game. They open up your passing game. And if you don't have a tight end, your passing game is basically shut down. And, like, we don't know that, being in Chicago all these years.
The slow starts, let's address that, too, because it came up during the broadcast about the fact that, you know, Shane Waldron was one of the few early in the season that did not script the first 10, 15 plays and started to do it, but it doesn't seem like it's connecting at this point.
Okay, and we talked about this in the pregame, and there's been a lot of conjecture about the whole, you know, episode that occurred up at Halas Hall. And obviously, the offense was, you know, stagnant. And Mercedes Lewis, who's 40 years old, been around for 20 years in the league, he had to go to the head coach and essentially say, look, we need to be coached, i.e., this offensive coordinator that you're paying money over here, he needs to not only give us a plan, but expect us to execute it and then criticize us and correct us when we don't. And that's not happening. Well, Eberflus, in perfect, you know, Eberflus vernacular, said, well, you need to go talk to him about it. In other words, pass the buck back to Shane Waldron. Well, Shane Waldron, essentially, in my mind, kind of had to rear up on his hind legs and start acting like a leader and the offensive coordinator, not just some flunky coach wearing a Bears cap. Now, all that being said, I remember watching in the preseason, and the offense was clicking here and there whenever, you know, our offense was out there. Bajent was playing great. Caleb would play a few plays. Anyway, I watched him on the sideline. His hand was shaking, holding the play chart. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
So some people, they have kind of a very forceful personality and presence. And you made mention of the fact that Doug Peterson, in the halftime comment to the on-field reporter today, sounded like a some kind of a wino, a bum. What do you need to do? Well, we gotta execute better. It was embarrassing. Now, all that, and he's a head coach, a two-time head coach. He went to a Super Bowl, by the way. The point I'm trying to make is, somehow, some way, they've kind of prodded him to be more, you know, more, what's the word?
Well, I'm forceful and, you know, and
proactive.
And holding accountable.
And starting to stir the pot. Now, we started off with 2-3 and outs. That's another bad start. But somehow, some way, they found some rhythm and they made it work today.
The only rhythm that they can do with this kid is get him in rhythm. In other words, not drop back, drop back, drop back. We've got fine receivers. We've got a quarterback that has shown that he can get out in different sets, in different running sets, different passing sets. Okay, his bootlegs, his play-action bootlegs, sprint outs, play action, moving the pocket, hitting Komet over the middle, opening up. And this is what you've seen. Now, and before this, Dan, what do we have? The only thing I can remember from years and quarters and one after another, three and out, lose, 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 another lousy season, three wins, five wins. I think it's all changed now, guys. I truly have. And I think Shane Waldron, finally, somebody talked to him.
Yeah.
And if it was the person you talked to, but somebody got and talked to him. Hey, start coaching us. You got a quarterback, all you're doing is dropping him back and he's getting killed? Get him out! He's got the talent to make things happen. And that's happened the last two games.
All right, take a break for news here.
We got to be better. We got to start fast, especially, you know, when we, you know, we get the ball first and teams defer. But we definitely did a good job with that, you know, the second half, but also right before going into the half. Those points were huge to have those swings and things like that. And they always talk about, you know, the 4 minutes going into half and the 4 minutes coming out of half and things like that. So, you know, it's super important, but we got to be better at the start, myself included.
Quarterback Caleb Williams talking about a slow start here. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. All's well that ended well, though, in a 35-16 win for the Bears over the Jaguars. Got someone on the line that wants to actually talk about that, so let's bring in Steve from Evergreen Park. You are up with Happen OB. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, love listening to you guys. You guys are great. Everybody talks about our slow start, but what's your opinion on starting offensively in a no huddle? It seems like our no huddle has been productive in the past. I'll wait for your opinion. Thanks a lot. You guys are great.
All right, Steve. Thanks. What do you think?
Well, first of all, it works. Why don't you do it? Obviously, they don't want to, you know, get off to a bumbly, you know, kind of start is the only reason I can think of. And let's be real. You know, Caleb has now played six games in the NFL. I think we're going to see that. And hopefully we'll see it after the break. But to me, that is logical. Why wouldn't you do it as efficient as the offense is once they start that, OB?
Absolutely. Yes, yeah, Steve. That's an excellent point. You know, and I don't know, Danny. Every down is important in the scheme of things. But if you can run, first of all, can you run a no-huddle offense? That's number one. Okay, and the only way you can find that, you got to do it in practice. You got to do it in the exhibition games. You just don't start in the fourth, fifth, or sixth game trying to throw something in and think you're going to throw somebody off, because most every team runs from a no huddle. Okay? And I think right now our offense, from what I've seen here in, what, the six games, I think they're starting to get a little bit of sense of what they can do. In other words, by their movement, their different formations, the way to attack downfield, using Cole Kmet to open up the passing game. I think that's the key. And if you can do that from a no huddle, I think that's an advantage. Confusion. The more confusion you could throw at the opposition 11, the defensive team, the better off you're going to be. But you got, obviously, you got to know what the hell you're doing. That's for sure. But I'll tell you what, we're starting to see a little bit of that, a little bit more of no huddle off. Started like last week, and I think we're going to see more of it. They get more confidence, the offensive line, the receivers, everybody. It looks like they're getting a little bit more comfortable with Caleb Williams. And I'm telling you, what backs that up is the 9.9 yards per pass attempt and the 6.9, almost 7 today, folks. That's not by accident. That's by purpose. They're pushing it. They're making it happen. And I can tell you, you hit those numbers, Steve. You hit those numbers, 7, 6.5, 7.5, 8, and that miracle number, almost 10, you're going to win. You are damn sure going to win a football game.
And the other part of that is, you know, once we scored, we took the lead, now you want to burn clock. And so that's, you know, kind of anti-hurry up. But all those things being, you know, equal.
Dan, you got to dictate to the offense and to the defense.
I agree.
Instead of the defense dictating you every set of downs, what they're going to do, and you got to adjust to what to them. No, guess what? Go on the offense. You come out with a no huddle. You dictate to the defense. That's the key.
Well, it's going to be tough. Next game out will be in Washington, and obviously the crowd noise will have something to do about that.
All right, time now for the Epical Performance of the Game, sponsored by Epical, revolutionizing beverage hydration with a pickle twist and rapid hydration. We couldn't just leave it for one individual today because the entire team played very, very well today in a 35-16 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the entire team is our Epical Performance of the Day.
I agree.
I'm glad we all agree. It's good. It's like we talked about it before the show.
That was a team victory. From special teams to our punter, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, kid.
Torrey Taylor.
He's there every week doing the right things. Our offense leading the way and our defense just stopping them dead cold.
I love
to see that from week to week.
Stopping dead cold. It was like 6 minutes left in the third quarter before Jacksonville got a first down after, you know, the opening drive. There was a whole second quarter and almost 10 minutes of the third. The defense was smothering him.
Great point, Danny.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to hear from Caleb Williams from England after the game today. So that'll be coming up after our quick timeout. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Could I say one thing real quick to hear? Caleb Williams, to his coaches, okay, especially head coach, you got to get this kid understanding a little bit more, him trying to struggle and get out of being trapped back there, especially in the drop back area zone. Not when he runs strong or weak, but okay, because I'm going to tell you, I've seen it too many times over the decades. I've seen quarterbacks go down, and why? Because they're trying to get out of a mess. Okay, you got to learn to throw that ball away, and you've got to figure out when it is time to go down. Because if you don't, and you keep doing this, in time, you will go down with a bad injury. And I'm very serious about this. Very serious, because I see him struggle and fight, jump, twist, and doing everything to get out. Know you're down in distance where you're at. Sometimes you may have to go down and let the punter get you out of trouble.
Yeah, live to see another play.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's just being smart.
Yep.
And that's got to come from the coaches.
Yep. All right, we'll hear from Caleb Williams coming up here in just a moment.
I think just his growth, just week in, week out, he gets better. Obviously when we pick up the tempo, he's a lot more comfortable. He's able to see things faster, and, the defense can't do all the moving around and stuff. So it's beneficial.
That's the voice of Keenan Allen talking about his quarterback getting better and better. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears win it 35-16. Let us hear the thoughts of the winning quarterback, Caleb Williams.
Cole on the scene, just talk us through the play, what you saw.
So throughout the week, you watch film, and they're backers and things like that. They're good backers, but I think team-wise, they're fast flow, and so they fly around. And so we had a bunch of, mismatch and kind of having Keenan run around and then back go here and then Cole bluff and then go down the seam. So, offensive line, Keenan, all these guys that did a great job. All I had to do was throw a layup to Cole down the seam and, let them do the rest. So, to everybody else, it was great. Obviously good getting that touchdown in and getting everything going.
Was that a little high read, or what did you have there?
Yeah, so we practiced it throughout the whole week, and Cole did a great job because him and I made an adjustment with his route, before the game, and so he did a great job with that. And then, I knew they were man. They tried to push the safety over I believe it was DJ over there, and he was running a slant. So they pushed the safety over to help, it was supposed to be 1-on-1 corner ball, and then the safety fell off, and then the corner was supposed to fall off, or whatever happened over there. I think they busted coverage, but Cole did a great job going up and getting it.
You just became the first rookie quarterback for the Bears to score 4 passing touchdowns in a single game since 1999.
Yeah.
What do you credit with your early success?
Offensive line, coaching, progress, the leadership on this team, you know, the for me, the constant mindset of keep going. Us getting out there and getting our momentum going, us getting out there and executing, us believing in each other, is what you credit it to.
How does the game feel for you right now? If you think back to those first couple of weeks, some of those games, Houston, Indy, you're sitting there in the locker room just trying to think through some of the things that could have gone differently versus how it feels to you during the game and afterward now.
Yeah, I think throughout this whole process of these, you know, past couple of games we've had, I think I've been seeing it well. And that starts, you know, throughout the whole week, watching film, getting there in practice, talking to the coaches, players, and things like that. So I think seeing it well, I think the comfort level of just, you know, like I've talked about before, getting back to playing football and, you know, where I need to be, eyes need to be, if I need to hold a safety, if I, you know, need to just hang on a route. So just getting back comfortable of having that feel for the game. Obviously, you study, you watch, and do all these other things. But you know, once the ball snaps, you gotta have that that post snap read and know what you have to do and be confident about it. So I think that's what I can contribute to.
What did you see on the interception?
Yeah. DJ wide open, and I didn't add enough juice behind it. I didn't put it where I put it in practice, which was a back pylon, and safety had an easy interception, and you know, I need to be better because that would have got everything going instead of you know, turning the ball over. We can't have turnovers. Something that I pride myself on. You know, obviously. You know, it affects the whole team, affects the momentum, especially when you have a wide open receiver like DJ streaking down the field. So I got to be better. Definitely frustrating. Definitely had a few words for myself after that, but, you know, got the mindset back on track and ready to go for the next draft.
Well, I mean, I think the next four drives when you came out, you guys scored on all of those. Did you feel a little extra juice from that specific
pass that I, you know, don't miss, that you don't want to miss, and do something like that? Self was important, but still having that in the back of my mind, like, you know, can't have that happen again, and let's go out here and go score.
Did that ball hang more than you thought there, or was it just an underthrow?
Yeah, no, it hung a little bit more than I wanted to. I put it a little too high, not far enough, so definitely got to be better.
You're the second rookie quarterback in London to ever win the game after Trevor Lawrence did so in 2021. Yeah. So how did your experience today playing in London compare to the build-up, the conjecture, the discussion going into the game?
Yeah, it was great. You know, you come out here with... you come out here for a week or so, not a week, we were here for a couple of days, Tuesday to now. So you come out for a couple of days, and you're here for, you know, a good amount of time away from your home, away from your bed, my dog, all these different things. And, you know, troubling to sleep on the first 2 days and things like that. So, you know, being able to, you know, take that 8-9 hour flight home. With the win, it's just, you know, going into a bye week, it feels great.
Were you in there for the afternoon tea celebration, or did you see it? That your receivers did after
games? Yeah, I end up being a guard and protecting the afternoon tea. So, yeah, it was fun. You know, they planned that, and you know, it's always fun when you can have those things come to life. It's really enjoyable to go out there and watch those boys, you know, do their job, and then go out there and have fun and do things like that.
What did you? What's it like having Keenan Allen in this offense? Obviously, getting his two touchdowns today, first time scoring a Bears touchdown for him. What's it like having him on the field?
Yeah, it's great. He's been a like a big brother to me. He's been special from you know, our relationship, and then obviously he's been special for many years. And so to have him on the team, his wisdom, his knowledge, and things like that, some stuff that he's taught me, you know, it's great. So being able to get him two touchdowns today, I know we've been just super close. First game of the year, we threw an out ball, and you know, we didn't connect. And then Rams game, threw like a ball to the seam. It wasn't a seam route, but threw a ball to the seam, got held, and so. We've been super close, so to be able to get two touchdowns for him today, yeah, it was pretty sweet, pretty awesome.
Concerned about getting the chemistry kind of back. Then you get him in the middle of the end zone with a perfectly placed back shoulder ball. What do you see the notes go there, and how do you know he also knows that that's what's going on?
Cole, you talking about Keenan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got you. So we practiced throughout the week. We had different throws that we've practiced. Getting the extra reps, I think, helps out. Like I've talked about before, we get it, you know, sometimes we get a few extra reps in individual drill or, after practice and things like that. And I think it definitely helped out. All the hard work and extra work that we've been putting in has been great. And to have somebody like Keenan, his patience and things like that. We're six games in and he's just getting his first two touchdowns. So, I think his patience with how such of a, you know, he's such a great player and things like that, he's been great. So, be able to get him those two, throw the back shoulder. It's like I said, it's something that we've practiced, kind of same ball that we practiced this week, that I threw earlier this week. So, he did a great job and, super excited.
How would you describe the way the offense came alive in the second quarter? You guys only had 7 yards in the first quarter, and then it was like 200 plus in the second quarter. It had a feel like a rhythm clicking.
Yeah, so I think it feels great. I would say we got to be better. We got to start fast, especially, when we get the ball first and teams defer. But we definitely did a good job with that, the second half, but also right before going into the half. Those points were huge to have those swings and things like that. They always talk about, the 4 minutes going into half and the 4 minutes coming out of half and things like that. So, it's super important, but we got to be better at the start, myself included.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. The Bears.
All right, thoughts from Caleb Williams after this one. And, again, it's kind of refreshing to hear a guy take a little responsibility for especially the throw to DJ Moore that really kind of hung up there. And he didn't, as he said himself, he didn't put enough juice under it. And that's a ball that they've worked on in practice several times.
You know what, Andy and Dan, the things we're seeing so far, we're 4-2. And I know the mishmashes we played teams, and it is what it is. But I'm going to tell you, what I'm really wondering is when we really get into the storm, the meat of the schedule that's coming up. And I wonder if can we get the no huddle down aspect good enough when we start to meet those good teams that are ready, no matter if it's offense or defense, they're ready to go from the get-go. Because when you're a damn really good damn team, that's what you are. You got your special teams down, you got everything down pat. I'm just wondering, Danny, just wondering if in the next couple of weeks, I know we play another mishmash team, and then we play Washington, okay? And I think that's going to be a tough game. But then we really get into the meat of the schedule, and that'll tell us basically who we are, how well they are on defense, how well they are on offense, will they hold up and do what they've been doing, and how well will these coaches advance from here to that stage, Dan, and can they bring a playoff to Chicago this year? That's the big question. Can they coach these kids up? Can these kids take it and run with these diversified offensive sets, and can defense keep it up? I hope so.
We'll chat about it coming up after the break. We got to take time out for news here, and then we'll get back to you and your calls. 312-981-7200. Bears win at 35-16.
Definitely not a position I envision playing in the NFL ever, but you got to do what you got to do. There's only so many guys you can dress on game day and only so many guys they can have on the roster. So you got to have somebody that can be the emergency, and I'm that guy reluctantly at times. But, I get my two or three snaps in on Thursday, and we go to Sunday, and it's always my biggest worry going to the game. And hopefully Scott's doing all right and everything heals up okay. But just glad I could go out there and just provide something for the team in that.
Cole Kmet as the emergency long snapper today, along with a couple of touchdown catches. Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Good to have versatility on a roster, especially because you can only dress 53.
The announcer, Rich Eisen, he was so proud of himself that he said there's no I in Kmet. He said it like three times, right?
Yeah, but he said there is a me.
Well,
that was even better.
K-M-E-T. Now, the funny thing about that is, years ago, to be the long snapper, boy, I mean, it was a thankless job because we would hammer, okay? And then about 10 years ago, they said you can't hit a defenseless player, you know, snapping the ball. So on one hand, I'm so happy for him that he did such a great job of filling in and doing the, you know, exemplary. But, man, he better thank his lucky stars it wasn't 10 years ago because they would have been hammering him right in the head, OB.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? They definitely would have had another backup offensive lineman. And that's another thing. How in the year and date?
Nate Davis can't snap, be the backup long snapper?
Can you not have a backup snapper? You know how important that is? What if the guy can't snap the ball for an extra point, you might lose the game by a point.
Yeah.
Falls right on the coaches, folks. You mean to tell me you got a tight end? You got to bring him in?
You're starting tight end.
Yeah, you're starting tight end of all people. And you think it's cute? I don't think it's cute. I think it's stupid. My God, all offensive linemen you have, and you don't have one ready to snap the ball on a punt or for an extra point or a field goal? I think that's called poor coaching, very poor coaching. That's how I would think what that happened and what it is. Poor coaching. Cole Kmet is your backup snapper.
He should be number five.
Yeah.
You know, number four maybe. But to have him, you know, have that responsibility too.
To think, folks, this is
what happens if he got hurt?
This is not a mystery. You mean to tell me in all the offensive linemen you've got, you don't, there's not one of them that can snap the ball? Or you found somebody you think might be, and you'll make him the backup snapper and make sure he works on it in training camp, in the offseason?
What about Coleman Shelton, the starting center?
What about the regular center?
How about Shelton, the starting center? What, he can't do it? You got to bring a tight end who's a valuable person for this team. He's the engine that makes this offensive passing game go, folks. Make no mistake about it. And you got him snapping. I hope the hell the kid doesn't get hurt on something like this. Get clipped running down the field or something, Danny. You never know what could come of it.
What do the Bears need to scrap? It's sponsored by Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. We kind of alluded to it earlier, but again, Matt Eberflus with the lack of awareness on challenges, whether it be challenging stupid plays again, or not challenging ones right in front of him.
He's 20, 10 yards, 5 yards, 30 yards max, and he's on the field and he's seeing it. And things have happened right at his foot, right in front of him.
Yep.
And he gets it wrong. Gets it wrong.
You wonder what their system is, because I know it's obviously a different sport, but in baseball, they've got a video guy in the dugout or behind the dugout, and he'll call the dugout and let them know, okay, it's worth it or not worth it. I have no idea if they don't have that much time, obviously, in the NFL, but I don't know what their system is.
They don't have one.
Yeah, whatever it is, it needs to change.
Defense. That was Tank Bigsby that made the reception and then kind of gathered himself by putting the ball on the ground. Now, to me, it was worth, at that moment, I mean, it was 14-3, and now here they come, and that was about a 16-yard gain on the play. Why wouldn't you challenge it? Try to break, you know, a little bit of the rhythm. But, again, he's calling the defensive snaps, okay? Well, he's so kind of wrapped up watching, you know, his play sheet, watching the result of the play, he forgets about it. And so somehow, some way, that has to be addressed, because there will come a time very soon that will become something that blows back in our face.
You're going to be playing some important football teams very shortly, folks, here within this next month. And I'm going to tell you, the stuff Dan was just talking about, that's going to come right to the front. It's going to face this team, and you better be prepared for it. And by the way, which means do not have Cole Kmet snap for extra points and whatever have you. You got that, Eberflus? Do not let Cole Kmet do that anymore. You've got all the offensive linemen, and you've got a center, a starting center. And you mean to tell me not one of them can snap the ball, and you take probably one of the most valuable people that we have on the team, let alone our offense, and you put him in the line to snap the ball? You fool.
How was the Bears coverage today? Sponsored by Thatcher Oaks Commercial Awnings, covering Chicagoland businesses for 40 years. I'll tell you what, the coverage was good again. I mean, even though the defense was missing some key ingredients there, of course, you're missing Jaquan Brisker going in. You lose Kyler Gordon during the game, and we'll try to find out how significant that hamstring injury is. But the guys that were out there were doing the job.
We had decent pressure. It wasn't great. It wasn't a dominating pocket collapse play after play kind of pass rush. But the coverage with two backups, actually three, Kyler Gordon exiting the game, Jalen Jones did a terrific job. Of course, Elijah Hicks manning the spot at free safety. Some good stuff.
Yeah, Josh Blackwell got in there and picked off a ball too. So it's the whole next man up thing, I think, is kind of foreign to some people. But you know, when you see these guys actually succeed, it means they're paying attention to practice and they're doing their jobs.
But back to Eberflus is calling the defensive plays. Why do you have a defensive coordinator? The guy calling the plays is the coordinator. So why would you pay Travis Williams to be the defensive coordinator? It's a mystery to me.
I'll tell you, I don't have an answer for that, Dan. When you see him, he covers his mouth and he's barking in the defensive calls. Like you said, what is Travis? What the hell is he doing? Where is he?
You know, that was a concern, too, when a couple weeks ago Eberflus was asked about the offense when it was scuffling and said the question asked very fairly, I thought, was if a unit is struggling, are you in the room with them trying to figure out exactly what's going on? And he said, yeah, you know, I was just upstairs with these guys and we were trying to figure this. In the same breath, they asked, well, will this affect your calling of the defense?
He goes, no, I can do them both. Yeah, if you're upstairs with the offense, who's in with the defense?
I can do them both. I don't know. I mean, it's such a responsibility to be a head coach.
And okay, we're carping. We're carping little bit now.
That's okay.
But these are things that could, you know, as the great OB says, up pops the devil. And we're going to have to deal with it.
And that's a fact. And, you know, you can't be, well, I'm going to call a deep. What are you telling your coach, your defensive coordinator? What are you telling half of your coaching staff that's on defense? What's the message you're sending to them? And like, you think the players don't think about it? Well, he's our defensive coordinator. Then again, is he? You know, am I going in because the head coach sent me in, or am I going in because of the defensive coordinator? You know, why even think of running a team that way, Dan? Why even think about bringing confusion into it? The game is tough enough to be played when you got a head coach who now is the offensive, and that's what he's doing, folks. He's calling the plays in, okay? And obviously, our defensive coordinator, I don't know, did they ever show him on the sidelines?
Never.
No, I think he's up in the booth.
He's in the booth.
He's in the booth.
God never showed him up there either.
Yeah.
Never showed him. And he's our defensive coordinator. You got a head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, three most important guys on your team, and we got one that's null and void.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out here, and we'll come back, and I think we're going to be able to hear from Cole Kmet, too, after this game, where the Bears win at 35-16.
The long snapper,
yeah. Number two.
It's about time they start going to that kid. I've been screaming about it the first three, four, five games of this season. Why aren't you using him? He'll break it open. He'll make it happen for you.
And he did
and
today.
And he did.
Yep.
A
couple of touchdowns for him today.
His ability to learn, you know, and grow and want to get better. You know, he knows that he's always working and improving and growing. He knows that it's going to be this year is a big year for him to be able to learn the game up here. And, you know, he's always been good enough in terms of the talent and those things. But he's learning the game and learning our offense and learning our skill sets that we have. And learning new things that they can.
Head coach Matt Eberflus, 35-16. Bears win it over the Jaguars in London. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Hey, up pops the devil. Remember what we were just talking about Cole Kmet being put into a position that maybe he is not ideally suited for? Think about this. Folks, we had a field goal blocked. It was a short one. It was a 42-yarder late in the game, late in the fourth quarter. And the block came from where, OB? Right up the middle.
Right up the front.
Which means one of those guards probably thinking, I've got to really kind of, you know, make sure that I compensate. And he went down inside and created a gap where the guy came right up through the middle and blocked the field goal.
Danny, Cole Kmet has no business. Of all people, you're tight end, and he's exceptional.
Well, this is case in
point. And of all the people, 53 guys on a team, so the other 52, you can't figure out who could be the backup snapper for field goals and extra points and for punts? Folks, that, you got to be kidding me. What the hell are these? Is this coaching staff thinking about? You take a viable person that we need every week out on that field for us to win a game, and you stick him in as a backup snapper in a line where you can get, after the snap, you can get tripped up, you can get clipped. There's so many things that could happen to you, and that's the mentality as a head coach and as the coaches, that's the mentality you guys have? Are you kidding me? You should be fired. I would fire you.
Well, and the thing about it is, yeah, I'm a big believer in looking at the ball possession drive chart. And if we started off with a punt, then another punt, then a touchdown, then the interception that Caleb said, you know, it was a bad throw. He just kind of floated it. But then we go touchdown, 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 and we should have had a field goal. I mean, we should have ran the table instead. These little things, these little bitty things, they'll come back to haunt you if you don't address them.
And Danny, what brings me back to the beginning of our conversation, okay, we won this game 35-16. It never should have been that close, folks. It never should have been, okay? Because you break it down, the difference was basically 19 points. In other words, we won in the four quarters. We scored 4 points a quarter more than our opponents, who were pathetic, and they were playing at home, which it, to us, as far as we know, because the owner, I think, is from England,
yeah, he's,
you know, and they've been playing there the last 11 years in a row. So that was their home game, okay? So we won the game. It's great. Congratulations again to everybody. But we only won it by, if you even it out, and it does mean something, folks. Little over 4 points a quarter we won by a team that is just god-awful at every position.
All right, let's hear a little bit from the backup long snappers, a.k.a. Cole Kmet from England.
Cole, you were the first player since 2005, Mike Bartram, for the Eagles to score a touchdown and then for the extra point after, you know, snap the ball.
Yeah.
What was weirder, being on long snapping today or being that open for the first touchdown?
Yeah, definitely not a position I envision playing in the NFL ever. But you got to do what you got to do. There's only so many guys you can dress on game day and only so many guys they can have on the roster. So you got to have somebody that can be the emergency. And I'm that guy reluctantly at times. But, I get my two or three snaps in on Thursday and we go to Sunday. And, it's always my biggest worry going to the game. And hopefully Scott's doing all right and everything heals up okay. But, just glad I could go out there and just provide something for the team in that regard.
Cole, how did you wind up with that duty?
Someone found out that I did it in high school. These guys know everything about you. So they found out I did it in high school. My uncle did it. And I remember my dad, me and my brother would be messing around doing it in the backyard all the time. And it was just kind of like a more you can do thing. And, thinking like if you ever needed to make a team, if you're a guy that's, the 54 or 55 guy and they're deciding between two guys that, having that ability, they're going to keep you on the roster for those type of things. And, obviously I'm not in that position right now, but that was kind of the mindset of learning how to do it. And, I wanted to play in the NFL one day, and that was kind of the thing behind it. And paid off today, I guess. So I was glad that I could just help out where I could.
Your first touchdown today, the play design seems like something that was in Shane's book for a little while there. What did you see with the big double screen and then your wide?
Yeah, just a great play concept. He had run it in Seattle before, and they presented a good defense for us to run that, and we had run a bunch of screens where we're flying the guy behind and pulling those backers out. So just kind of blocked my guy on the line for a second there, and Caleb gave a good fake. And then just right up the shoot and was able to break a tackle and get in the end zone.
How different is the nervousness you might feel of being a long snapper versus either butterflies or anxiety before the game or before the game is a tight end?
Yeah, I think for me, I don't really get like nervous anymore to go out and play. I think like the first couple games of the season, just because you know you're a little unfamiliar from taking the big break and you finally go back, I have a little bit of nervousness, but like once you get rolling in the season, it feels like game day is like every other day. So I don't have that type of nervousness anymore, but because I'm just doing all those reps all the time, so I know what to expect, I know what I can do out there. But I mean, like I said, long snapper, I take two snaps a week really. So it's not like I have a ton of time on task on that like I do at tight end, but at the end of the day, like that's kind of what this league is a little bit. You kind of just have to plug and play some guys are playing out of position here and there, and it just happened to be me today.
All right, Cole Kmet answering some questions. Yes, OB,
that's an interview we never ever should have heard. That never, Danny and Andy and our listeners, we have never should have heard that interview. Again, going back to the offensive lineman on this team, and we have an actual center, and you mean to tell me not one of them can snap the ball, and you take one of your most valuable offensive weapons, and you put him in that situation where after the snap of the ball, he could get clipped, blindsided. No, you could never tell what could happen. He never should be in that position, and we should never have heard that interview. That never should have happened. You got 53 players, and you mean to tell me on a staff, 53 players, and you can't find one to snap the ball back to a punter or to a holder? Think about what I just said.
Yeah.
You can't, 53 guys, and you can't find a backup, and you got to take a valuable player like him? My God, what are these people thinking about?
But OB, what he said was incredible. He doesn't worry about playing tight end. His only concern and worry in games is that he's going to have to do this.
And that's what I said. We should never hear this conversation from him.
How much focus can you have if you got in the back of your mind? This is incredible.
Exactly. And I don't take this lightly. This kid's too valuable, Danny, Andy. He's too valuable to be put in a situation like that.
Crazy.
And don't tell me crazy things like you just said. Tell me crazy things can't happen on that football field, because if I'm the opponent and he steps the ball, we had to punt and he's running down the field, I would make sure somebody takes him out.
Two times a game you see an offensive lineman get rolled up and carted off. What's the difference in your tight end with his legs spread apart and all that trash in there rolling up on him?
Or if he's got running down the field, then he gets clipped.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, folks, it's just
that's nuts.
It's stupid, and it's not coaching. It's poor coaching. Poor coaching.
The bye week coming at a good time for all of us here at this point. Thank you very much. We'll be back with you a week from Sunday, the 27th, against the Washington Commanders, 11 a.m. pregame, thanks to Sammy, Jack, and Eli behind the glass. Also to Bob Ferguson and Dan Long, our engineers.
That'll be a quarterback battle, boy.
Yes, it will.
Two rookie quarterbacks, one first, the other guy taking second.
It'll
really something to listen to. Tune in, folks.
It'll be one for the ages. Hammond will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers, Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Football fans, from longtime sponsor Nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk.
For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk at jeffvuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side.